Your BBN online feature will begin in just a moment. You can look at a BBN program schedule online at bbnradio.org. Click Programs and then Program Schedule and Links. bbnradio.org, then click Programs, then Program Schedule and Links.
In the midst of your busy day, ladies, thanks for tuning in to Building Blocks for the Family. We're helping you build a strong family to the glory of God. Our guest today is Sharon Rabin. You know, the teen years are a time of transition and change. But should we fear those teen years? Or are there things we can do to make it a great time in our families? Here's Sharon Rabin and Getting Connected, Parent-Teen Relationships.
How many of you have teenagers in your home right now? Does everybody, or pretty much? There's a few in here then that may be looking for the future. That's good. You know, you can't be that looking for the future. So that's a good thing. My husband and I have three children, two sons, and if he were talking, he would say, and one normal child. That's what he always says, two sons and one normal child, and she loves that. And if you were asking the boys, they would tell you Joy's the favorite, but she's really not. She's just a girl, you know? After her being the baby, after she left the house, the first Christmas, we decided to surprise her, and we had her boyfriend to come into town. He was from another state. And so that Christmas morning, after we opened our presents, and she was by herself, you know, there was nobody else at home. Both boys had been married, and it was her first one, just the three of us. So we thought, we'll surprise her. So she opened her presents that morning, and we said, now you need to get dressed because we have to go outside to get your other present. Now, what did you just think about? Okay. Well, so I said, now let's wear something new that we just got this morning. So we both put our new stuff on and got dressed, and she said, I'm ready, you know, and so out we go. And of course, it wasn't a car. It was Chris. It was her boyfriend, which she was overjoyed about, and he spent the day with us and went back. Well, we had fun with that. She called the boys. And she called each one of them, and she said, hey, Merry Christmas. Guess what? Guess what? I had to go outside for my last Christmas present today. What kind of car did you get? You know, and we had a ball with that. And she's just laughing. And because now we said, yeah, whatever Joy wants, she'll get. But she didn't. She was driving an old car, too. But, you know, we really milked that because you thought a car and they thought a car. I love it. Well, the main thing about this session, ladies, the point is to be connected with your teenagers. We live in a day and time that teens say things like, my parents don't understand me. I don't know them. They don't even know who I am. There's a major disconnection. Mark Twain said, when a child becomes a teenager, he should be placed in a barrel and be required to spend the rest of his teen years in there. And then he suggested, when they were 17 years old, to open the box, check on them, and then plug up the hole. That is not what we want. That is the wrong image that we want. You know, it's like a child. We often say, oh, the terrible twos. Don't say that if you have a baby. Don't say that. Because what we say is what we do. Don't think that about your teenager. We want to picture the teen years as being the happiest years in a home. Each of our sons were best men in each other's wedding, and now they work across the hall. They're both on staff with my husband, and I just tell you that to tell you that I'm speaking from experience. I'm not speaking about something that I've not been through. Don't you love it when somebody talks about something like, I'm sure this will work? No, it will work. But what I'm telling you about getting connected takes much work. It takes unselfishness on the mom and dad's part. Now, we also have to stay connected to mom and dad. Because you know what? We're in empty nest days now, and I'm so glad that I know the man I'm married to. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? I'm so glad about that. But what can we do as a parent so that our children don't say things like, my parents don't understand me? I've always said the problem with this world are the parents of this world. The problem is not that teenager that's in rebellion. We want to say it is. The problem are us, the parents. We oftentimes don't give enough, and we want to give and give so that there is not a problem. See, a teenager has to make the biggest decisions of their lives when they're too young to make them. Now, think back when you were a teen. I want you just to go back in your mind just a minute. Most of us had a little bit of rebellion. Some of us married at a young age. I married at a very young age. Now, thank God that I married a godly man. But just like we made that decision, I could have been over here making a terrible decision. Some of you might have made a bad decision, and that has affected your home today with connecting to your teens. We can't fix everything, but we can make the teenage years of our home the best years of your life. You can make it to be a wonderful experience. You see, you've got to realize that your child is not, your teen is not a child, but they're not an adult either. That's where the word tween came from, right? See, they feel very adultish, and you want to call them a child. I want to say, come on, kids. Now, you can say, come on. I can say, come on, kids, now, because my kids know they're not kids. I can look at them and call them still, and we still do, even the wives of my sons, we call them the boys. We know who we're talking about. Where are the boys? That's my boys. And their wives do that. I can do that now. They're 28, 25, and our daughter's 23. We can do that. Their manhood has been established. You understand? What can you do so that that connection is never lost and you don't have to waver? We have to accept some things about our teenagers. A lady said to me years ago now, she had just noticed driving by our house, and she said, she stopped, she rolled her window down, and she said, I want my children to turn out like your children. Well, that caught me a little bit off guard. And I said, well, thank you for saying that. She said, so I'm going to put my children in your Christian school. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Now, I didn't say everything that I thought, but I did say, you know, yes, I did say this. I said, yes, that's great. It takes the school, the home, and the church to build children like you're wanting. So you make sure that you have that triangle in place. Now, that triangle is not in place today, and I still know them, and this is a tough situation. Parenting is hard work if it's done correctly. Godly parenting should be chosen by you as a way of life. Now, we're starting with you, okay? Parenting is hard work if it's done correctly. Godly parenting should be chosen by you as a way of life. Now, for those of you who don't have teens yet, this next statement is very important. Consistency in younger years is the best way to connect so that your teens will not disconnect through their teen years. See, if I'm connected every day, and there's never a day that I don't connect, then do you understand there'll never be a day that I'm not connected? If you have a best friend, you better connect with her, right? You better call her. You better shop with her. You better share ideas with her. You better connect with her, because somebody else is going to connect with her. Don't do it for that motive, but what I'm trying to say is you will disconnect. And then before long, you'll just be coming up saying, how have you been? I've missed you. Maybe we'll get together sometime. Let's do. Let's plan it. Check. Next person. That's what happens with our kids. I'll spend time with you tomorrow. You know, I've got all this today. Check. Go do your homework today. Oh, we don't have the money for that. Oh, we don't have the time this week. Oh, and you know what they're doing? They're connecting with somebody else's mama. And they may not be a godly mama. Now, who just made that choice? You did and I did. We just made that choice. We have to get out of our box and we have to connect. Deuteronomy 6. I'm not going to spend time in these verses today. You know them. But it tells us in these verses how to be a godly parent. I'm just going to pull out a couple of phrases. We're going to keep the statutes of the Lord in verse 2, chapter 6 and verse 2. And these things I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You know what? I act on the things that's in my heart. Oh, yeah. If you love crafts, you're going to be a crafty person. You're going to make time. If you love to cook, you know what? You're going to come up with new recipes. If you love to be healthy and you believe in exercise, you're going to be at the gym. Or you're going to be running in your neighborhood. Or you're going to be, if you love the Bible, you're going to be in God's Word. Whatever you love, you're going to carry out. What about those kids? You have to love, love, love to spend time and energy with those kids, with your teens. No, all teens are not rebellious. No, they don't have to go. They're not just going through a phase. They don't have to go through a phase. No, you do not have to let them go with that child in the church if it's not best for them. You have to make things in a better way for them. It tells us if we love something, verse 8 says, and thou shalt bind them upon a sign, for a sign upon thine head, they shall be frontlets upon thine eyes. When you walk, when you lie down, whatever you do, you're training, you're teaching. Teenagers need us more than our children. We just don't think they do because we don't bathe them anymore. They can go to the fridge and get a pizza. They can drive and go to Taco Bell. So we let them. And they become this person that gets the independence. In other words, we've thrown the rope way out there and it's got a lot of curves in it and we can't gather it back. We have disconnected. So the base of connecting with our teens is God's Word. Now, let's talk about some practicalities of God's Word. Connect through acceptance. Connect through acceptance. Accept that your teenager is more of an adult than he or she is a child. You know what? I don't like change. Do you like change? I mean, I just kind of like to know things are set and it's that way. I don't even like to change cars. I like my paid for minivan. It runs and, you know, everything's good. I don't really like change. I like to just keep things. Well, we've got to accept this change. Our child grew from an infant to a toddler to just a little child that we begun to love and watch them play ball to a teenager. And we're giving them a little bit of more freedom as we learn to trust them and they learn they can be trusted. We don't cast the rope out there and say, oh, you're 13, you get a cell phone, you get everything. No, no, no. We have to be careful and just accept the fact. Don't give them everything. Just accept the fact that they're more of an adult. Don't make them an adult. Accept that fact. And then accept your teenager unconditionally. You see, we've got to be consistent in what we do. What would our teenagers say about us if we asked them that question? If I could put them in a soundproof booth and I could say to them, tell me about your mom. Is she consistent? With what? Talking on the phone? Yes. With what? Going to bed at 8:30? Yes. With what? Watching movies? Yes. With me? No. She rants and raves. What would they say? Would they say yes? They might. I'm just asking you that question. What would they say about your consistency? See, we are the authority. We're not their best friend. We want to be their best friend. Now that my daughter's married, I'm not her authority anymore. I can be a friend. Now, we eased into that friendship as she was engaged. And now I consider her one of my very best friends in the world. Confide in her, love her. How do we get to that point? We've got to accept them unconditionally. Unconditional love is looking for the potential in your teenager. What potential do they have? What can they do? Unconditional love will not embarrass the teenager. They don't want to be embarrassed. Now, when we're continuing connect with them, I never had to quit kissing my kids in public. I never had to quit doing that. Some people may have to, depending on the personality of your teenager. You may have to quit doing that. But I didn't walk up and call them my little, you know, pokey cutie. You know what I'm saying? In front of their kids. Their friends, I mean. You know what I'm saying? You know? You little precious darling, you. Now, I might have done that to their friends. Can do it to their friends. You just can't do it to them. Accept your teenager unconditionally. Don't embarrass them. Try to understand their thoughts. Wouldn't you have loved it if your parents understood your thoughts? Maybe they did. Try to understand, why are they thinking like that? What makes them want to leave your home every night and not be home? We'll change that. Why don't they want to talk to you? Well, maybe you're trying to talk to them, and we'll talk about this a little later. Maybe you're trying to talk to them at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and they are not an afternoon person. Well, I'm just not talking at 11. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You know what we do now when we go on vacation, which our kids are married, we still try to do things as a family. We do things our kids want to do. As our kids got older, we planned vacations as they were young, and then as they got in their teen years, where do you want to go? We laugh at the certain vacation we did because it's so funny because we didn't speak their language. I said, well, one thing about it, we made a memory because y'all bring it up every vacation. We made a memory. But, you know, you're going to make mistakes. We are. But how can we better connect? Does your teen attend church youth activities at your church? Do you support that? Or do you say, no, we've got to cut the grass today? You're messing up connection. They're not wanting that. See, we've got to understand that there's some things we have to conform to. They're a conformer. They want to be like the crowd. They want to go places. They want to do. You say, well, I'm a homebody. Well, stop being an at-home body because your child probably is not. What do they want to do? Make your home a place they want to come to. We have a pool table in our bonus room for one reason. So my kids would want to come over. And when those boys came over, I'll be honest with you, I came home from work just to sit on stairs and listen to the sounds. I love that. And then when things kind of died down a little bit and they were studying, waiting to go back to ball practice, I said, hey, anybody want a ham sandwich? It costs money to have a teenager. Give up something you have. Every one of us could give up something to feed teens in our home, to make it a desirable place to be. We could do that. What can we do? We have got to have things in place that are first class for our kids. Are they embarrassed to bring friends to our home? If they are, we are disconnecting. Now, I'm not saying to train them that don't take me wrong with this. I'm not talking about name brands and I'm not, that's not my subject. understand that I'm trying to talk about connecting in ways that they can get what you're saying. They never lose the connection. They know my parents believe in me. They want to help me. They love me. One thing we did in our home is to always have plans. Always have plans. Let me give you this point first. Accept the fact that your teen is going to be gone more and more. You're going to have to accept that. Don't put rebellion into their, no, you were gone last night. Well, why were they wanting to be gone two nights in a row? We literally always had plans. Now, I didn't tell them this. This is a secret. I don't even know if my boys know it now. Joy's been to ladies' conferences with me, so she's heard me. But you know what? Our plans needed to be better than what those friends were going to offer. Hey, man, you want to go out with that? You want to hang out at the mall tonight? This became the teen answer from my boys. I don't know. Let me see what my parents are going to do. Because we're going to beat that. We're going to be hanging out at the mall. I'm going to tell you this. And if they're with us, we're going to buy their supper. If they're with the friends, they're going to buy their supper. I'm not going to furnish money for them to hang out with their friends at the mall. First of all, I'm not going to let them hang out at the mall. Let me just clear that up. But I'm just using it. Have you ever seen a teen hanging out at the mall that looked like they were having fun? Don't allow it. Hey, we're going ice skating tonight. You want to go ice skating? I don't know. Let me see what my parents are doing. Because we're going to beat ice skating. One night, we walked into playing laser tag. And we didn't realize that our family went, the five of us, and we didn't realize that it was laser tag night. I mean, like, you could play laser tag for 4 hours for the same price or whatever. And so we got there and we checked in and the guy said, do you know the rules of laser tag? And we said, yes, we do. We're fine. Okay. Well, did you know? I mean, it was a rough crowd there. You know, we had no clue. And they're looking at us. And here we are, Joy and me and our little kawats and the guys, you know, we're our little collared shirts. So here we are, you know, this family. But our kids wanted to play laser tag. Well, now we can have fun playing laser tag with them. I'm not going to let them go hang out and play, but I can go play with them. We always have plans. Always. Don't tell them, well, we're going to beat your plan. No, this is our secret. Always have plans. Now, you had plans when they were 2 months old and 4 months old and 6 months old and 10 months old. See, I can't train somebody who's not in my home. If your child is spending the night with somebody at 9 years old every Friday and Saturday night, you're in trouble when they're 15. No. You've got to make those nights and days more fun. Don't have company all the time. If you have more than one child, you have company. Teach them that their best friend lives in that home. Do you see that connection? I would rather my children be talking to each other than talking to me. I love that. I just read on Facebook, actually, this week, I'm not on it a lot just because, you know, there's no time. But when I get a little moment and I had it, I got back to the room and I was relaxing Thursday night. And I read where back sometime was Happy Siblings Day. And our daughter had sent my boys a message, Happy Siblings Day. And one of the boys had responded big time in it. And then the other one said, ditto. And, you know, my eyes teared up, and I said, thank you, Lord. There's a connection. The home has got to be connected. It starts with the parents connecting with each one, and then we put that connection with each other. If there's always a best, don't take a best friend on vacation. Let me chase that rabbit. They want to run off to the park over here. We always did the baseball game and the amusement park. That's what our kids like to do. You say, well, I'm not going to amusement park. Wrong answer. If they want to go to amusement park, go to amusement park. I wanted my children to learn from me, their dad. Learn from us. Lots of things. You know, I didn't want even my daughter going to another woman to talk about all the situations about married life. I wanted her to come to me. So I started that process. And I finished it. I don't want her to come to you and say, you know, I don't really know what to do tomorrow night, you know, my wedding night. No! I want her to know from her mama. I want to connect in that way. Connect through communication. Next point. Communication is the most important part of a process of building the bridge to connect to your teenager. Communication. It's a process of building a bridge. I want that bridge built beautifully. They don't even know there's a bridge built. They think it's normal because we have a happy home. And then when they go into a home, as we say, they're going to be gone more and more, and they see that it's not like that, you know what they're doing? They're saying, I like my home. I think I want to be with my mom and dad more. Our daughter in our own Christian school had somebody say to her, she said, how is it to live in your home? She said, I wouldn't want to live in your home. And Joy said, really? Why not? She said, rules. Joy said, really? You know what she was talking about, don't you? Dress standards, mainly in music. That's the two things that kids call rules. And Joy said, really? Well, have you ever done this with your parents? Well, what are y'all doing Friday night? Well, have you ever? No. Joy said, well, our family's not about rules. It's about connecting. It's about wanting to be together. It's about having fun together. It's about having so much fun. We're connecting. Spiritually connecting, physically connecting. We're being what we need to be.
Sharon Rabin, Getting Connected, Parent-Teen Relationships. You've been listening to Building Blocks for the Family from the Bible Broadcasting Network as we seek to help you build a strong family to the glory of God. For more information on getting a copy of today's broadcast, you can visit us at bbnradio.org. Go to the program schedule and then click on Building Blocks for the Family, bbnradio.org.
And that concludes our online feature. We are listener-supported here at BBN. And to find out how you can help, click donations at bbnradio.org.